Welcome to the weekly podcast from Christ Community Church. If you would like more information about this podcast or Christ Community Church, please visit our webpage at www.gochristcommunity.com. Blessings and enjoy the sermon.
Greetings. I'm Marius Labienus Judaicus. I'm a junior officer called an optio in the 1st Roman Legion called Italica. Years ago, I heard the Apostle Paul preaching to the Gentiles, and I was baptized into the new covenant of Jesus Christ. But I heard Paul talking about spiritual warfare and the armor of God. That was really important to me, and I want to share with you today why that's so important. So to get our heads wrapped around the reality of our spiritual warfare and our relationship with Jesus Christ in that regards, let's remember an experience that Joshua had one night on the eve of battle. He went out to pray in the wilderness to think about what he was going to do the next day. And someone came to him and introduced himself as the captain of the host of the Lord. It was Jesus Christ in the Old Testament came to him. And he referred to himself as the captain of God's host. And he proceeded to give him battle plans for the next day. Of course, all went well. But that's a helpful reminder of our relationship to God, to Jesus Christ when we need him. So the Lord is there for us, obviously, to give us battle plans, but how to conduct ourselves. Solomon, in his 3rd proverb, said, "Trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. All your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths." So, in face value, the words are great encouragement, but regarding our time in thinking about spiritual warfare, it sounds like the Lord is, in fact, wanting and willing and desiring to give us our marching orders and our battle plans as we conduct ourselves in our spiritual warfare. So what do we do? How do we act? How are we supposed to go about this spiritual warfare? So Samuel spoke a word to the nation of Israel, speaking words from God. He said, "To obey is better than to sacrifice." So again, very powerful words and impactful, the importance of obedience. But since I'm not really in the habit of sacrificing the fatted calf too often to the Lord, there's another story that helps me wrap my head around the importance of this principle. It's a true story written down by Julius Caesar during his campaigns in the Gallic Wars. There was a particular battle when a centurion jumped over the wall, over this defensive wall, and he jumped right into the middle of this big formation of enemy soldiers. Now, this centurion, like all centurions, was promoted from the ranks because of his bravery and leadership skills in battle. And he jumped over the wall knowing he would probably get a medal for being the first guy over the wall. But in this case, his commander, Julius Caesar himself, gave orders to hold the defensive perimeter because the commander knew that there were some other troop movements going on and he knew better. So this guy goes over the wall, he gets in a bit of a fix, and another centurion jumped over the wall to help him. And he knew he'd probably get a medal for saving another Roman soldier's life. They got in trouble, and another centurion jumped over, and there was a small handful of soldiers, centurions, fighting this huge enemy host. Well, the day was won. The enemy was fought off. These fellows got back into camp. They were awarded their medals, and then Julius Caesar himself came to speak to them, and he said, "Much as I admire the heroism you showed in battle, I must condemn your bad discipline and presumption in thinking you know better than your commander in how to foresee the results of an action." He said, "I want obedience and self-restraint from my soldiers just as much as courage in the face of danger." And so I think as believers in Jesus Christ, we really can spend a long time meditating on that principle and the impact of it and the reality of it and how important it is for us to live, keeping in the front of our minds the importance of our obedience to God as he directs our paths and gives us our marching orders for our daily battles and spiritual warfare. So, but Paul, the Apostle Paul, talks about spiritual warfare and the armor of God in his letter to the Ephesians in chapter 6, in verse 11, it says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to fight against the wiles of the devil." And he goes on to talk about how our fight is against powers and principalities and rulers of the darkness of this world. And so as a believer, you probably have seen the difficulties in being in the world and not of the world, as the scripture says. We're basically in enemy territory. So we go about our business, and you've seen where there's just bad people, the devil is in the world, and he's influencing events and people. There's governments. I'm sure you've heard the stories of persecution going on in different parts of the world against Christians. Even our own humanity fights us at times, and I'm sure you've experienced that as well. So every day we get up, whether we think about it, whether we recognize it, whether we choose to understand it or not, every day that God gives us, we are fighting spiritual warfare. And so it's important to understand, Paul wants us to know, that God has prepared and equipped for us a means to have tools to get through this spiritual warfare. And he goes on to say in verse 14 that we should put on the belt of truth. And so let's talk about my equipment and how I use it that my captain gave me. Now, some of them seem a little bit less important or impactful, and certainly the belts are not something that draw people's attention. So let's talk about the belts for a minute. This first belt that's across my waist, it's kind of important because it holds the armor together, right? So without it, I'd have a hard time being able to utilize this armor properly. And then I have a belt across my chest that actually holds my sword. And so if I didn't have this belt, I wouldn't even have a primary weapon to use against the enemy. So very important belts. Even these other belts that are falling down in front of me, they're pretty important too. True story, marching into battle one time and walking across this field like we always do, calmly and quietly. Off in the distance, there's a whole bunch of German barbarian soldiers, and they're up on this hill, and they're yelling and screaming and beating their sword against their shields and making all kinds of ruckus, and they're trying to scare us. And finally, when they stopped yelling, they heard that we were so quiet and calm and composed that they can hear our belts jingling as we were walking towards them. And that scared them so much, they ran off. True story. So those are actually important, too. It's important. The reason why we were able to be so calm and composed is because we really trusted our commander and his judgments as he gave us orders to march into battle. So he also next talks about taking on the breastplate of righteousness. So you've heard a lot about the breastplate of righteousness, and sometimes you hear about, oh, you got to face the enemy, and if you turn and run, then it doesn't work. But let's talk really about how I use my breastplate in battle. So you can see this actually is the latest technology in battlefield armor. Okay, so it weighs about 15 pounds. And it's a series of strips of steel and held together by leather strips and brass rivets underneath it. So it moves quite nicely, like a centipede. It's pretty comfortable. And it allows me, some of you guys might appreciate this, it allows me to have the usefulness in the battlefield of heavy infantry while still having the mobility of light infantry. And so it's a very effective piece of equipment. It protects all my vitals. It's basically impenetrable. The predecessor model of this was something called chainmail, just a series of wire links hooked together, and it was easily penetrated by arrows and spears and everything else. But this was a huge upgrade, and it's an awesome tool to have in the battlefield. So, and this is actually what Paul was talking about when he was speaking to the Gentiles about the breastplate of righteousness. So what is it about righteousness that emulates this armor so well? And I think it's the reality that we actually are not righteous, but we should be emulating the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And so in a practical sense, acting in such a way that emulates the righteousness of Jesus Christ keeps us out of trouble. But it also helps us in our daily life, in our effectiveness, in our usefulness in spiritual warfare, in our ability to be useful for the kingdom of God. And so the righteousness of Jesus Christ is what's valuable as if, you know, as useful as this this armor is. So he goes on to talk about having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And so what in the world is he talking about like that? Feet shod, preparation of the gospel. So another seemingly unimportant piece of equipment that I have are the shoes that I'm wearing. To the inexperienced eye, they may look like just a pair of sandals, but they are in fact the latest technology in combat footwear. So they go all the way up above my ankle. They're supportive like boots. They're made from African buffalo hide. So they're comfortable, and they're cleated. They have cleats on them. So what they do for me is make sure I have a firm foundation and a strong footing as I'm conducting my hand-to-hand combat, which is way big step ahead of my enemies. So most of the barbarians that I fight barefooted, which totally not ideal. Walking barefoot, easy to hurt your feet. Slippery, lack of good footing. The over-civilized Greeks, they may wear some sandals, but nothing like this. They're not cleated. They're not supportive. So no matter what I have to encounter, I'm sure that I will have a more firm footing and a better foundation for my spiritual battles. And so what is it about the gospel that is like having this firm foundation of good combat boots? Well, it's not actually the gospel. It's the preparation of the gospel, right? So it's the knowing ahead of time what the story of Jesus Christ is. It's the fact that he was a wanted man the day he was born. It's the fact that he grew up dealing with all the temptations that we deal with. It's the fact that he went on and allowed himself willingly to be sacrificed, even forgiving people on the cross. He was there forgiving the thief that was hanging there next to him. We know that he died 3 days later. He rose again from the dead. We know the gospel story, right? And this understanding, this preparation, this knowledge of the story of Jesus Christ is our firm foundation in our spiritual battles. And so what is it about spiritual warfare then that makes it so important, understanding the gospel story of Jesus Christ? Well, it's the fact that you're a believer, right? Because how many unbelievers ever experience spiritual warfare? I think if you have any spiritual issues as someone who's not a believer, it's because the Spirit of God is coming and pushing on you and trying to get you into God's fold and it's decision time, and it's difficult to break away from the old man. But once you confess that lordship of Jesus Christ, once you have entered into the new covenant, then you become an enemy of the devil and against your own humanity and oftentimes against the things that are going on around you. So once you become a believer, you have just enrolled yourself into spiritual warfare. Okay, so, and it's this dynamic that makes the gospel story of Jesus Christ so important, and having that prepared knowledge in our mind. So next, he talks about taking on the shield of faith in verse 16. So again, something that you've heard a lot about, the shield of faith. So let's talk about how I use my shield in battle. So first thing is it's not something to hide behind. Okay, let's recognize that. I don't just stand there behind this thing and close my eyes and hope the world goes away. Just hope all the bad things stop, that I'll have faith in God, I don't know. But that's not how it works for me. I take this shield, and when I go into battle, I take my step forward and push off with it, because the handle is actually in the middle, right? Those over-civilized Greeks, they have their shield strapped to their arm, and they can't really do anything with it except hide behind it. But my commander saw fit to put this handle in the middle, so I can push off of it. And when I push the enemy with it, I knock him off balance, and then I poke him with my sword. And it actually works pretty good. So this is something that I am continuously moving forward with for the empire, this shield. And that is what it is about faith that allows us to use this shield as a weapon Again, not something to hide behind, but something that we can use because we know God, we trust God. We're going to push off and then poke with a sword and then push off. And it gives us the strength and courage to move forward for God's kingdom. Something else that Paul talks about is the fact that the shield of faith quenches the fiery darts of the wicked one. So this is an overlooked issue that it's actually kind of important. My shield is covered in leather. So every time I go into battle, before I go into battle, I wet it down so that the leather's all wet, because these Germans think they're so smart, they shoot these arrows at us, and the arrows don't do any good. The arrows can't penetrate my armor. They can't penetrate my helmet. They hit the shield, and they don't really do anything. Just break them off and push them out of the way. So they had this idea they'd play psychological warfare on us and light the arrows on fire, because they think that fire will scare us for some reason. So our commander said, wet down the leather on your shield so that when these fiery arrows from the Germans hit our shield, the fire goes out, and their psychological warfare is totally undermined. And that's what God has in mind for us too. When we use our shield of faith, our faith in God, we are easily able to overcome the psychological warfare that we experience from our coworkers, the world around us, bad media, our own humanity, misunderstanding. How many times have you heard something from a fellow Christian, someone you go to church with, you totally misunderstood it, you totally got the wrong idea, ruined your relationship with that person for far too long, only to find out later on that it was misunderstanding. That misunderstanding is the psychological warfare that the devil plays, or even your own humanity plays on you for whatever reason. These are the things that we experience during in our spiritual warfare. So our faith and trust in the Lord is able to overcome that, is what Paul's trying to tell us. So he goes on, and he says to take the helmet of salvation. So what is it about the helmet of salvation? So let's talk about how this helmet works for me. This, again, is the latest technology in combat headgear. This is something, these helmets have been in a process of evolution over centuries, and this is what our commander came up with to give us. And the reason is what we have is I've got a reinforced brow, I've got reinforcements on the dome, I've got ear openings so I can hear my centurion bark out orders, but it's reinforced, so it's not a weak point. I've got this big neck guard to protect my neck. I've got cheek plates. And the reason is because these barbarians that we fight against, they're all 6 feet tall, and I'm the average height of a Roman soldier. And so these Germans think they can scare us by swinging their long swords down on us as hard as they could. And we've designed this armor so that when it hits, it just bounces off and deflects. And while it's deflected and out of the way, we push off with our shield and then poke them with our sword. And it all works really well. So the helmet is really actually a very effective tool to help protect, an important part of our body, our head. Now, as a soldier, I know, and my enemies know, that the easiest way to take an enemy soldier out on the battlefield is a head wound. That's still the case today. So it's important for us to be able to protect our head as good as possible. And so what is it about salvation that is so like this helmet? And it's the fact that, the Apostle Paul said it in 1 John chapter 5. He said he wrote those things to believers that they might know that they have eternal life. God wants us to know and be sure about the eternal life that Jesus Christ paid for us. That's important. Because as the world, as your own humanity, as the powers and principalities, rulers of darkness of this world, want to pull us away from God, pull us away from the church, from the body of Christ, to weaken us, to undermine our ability to serve God, to undermine our usefulness for the kingdom of God. That's the nature of the spiritual warfare. Our knowledge of our salvation, our surety of our salvation, is what will keep us where we need to be with Christ. Okay? So this head knowledge, this knowing, and knowing God is what gives us the faith. Our faith isn't a guess. Our faith is a fact that we move forward with God's kingdom because we already know who God is and what Jesus Christ did for us. So finally, Paul says to take the shield, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Okay? So what is it about the sword and the Word of God. So let's have a look at the sword. This also is the result of centuries of development that's gone on. This is really an awesome weapon. It's strong. It's got a central rib. This is not something that I use to wildly slash and hope I hit something like the barbarians. This is something that I patiently and consciously use as a thrusting weapon when I see a weakness. I'm very tactical about how I use it, and I'm very purposeful about how I use it, and because of that, it's very effective. So Paul goes on to say in his letter to the Hebrews that it's quick and powerful, the Word of God, and sharper than any two-edged sword, and this is the sword he's talking about, the gladius. And he goes on to say that as effective as this is to pierce bone, to cut bone, the Word of God cuts through soul and spirit. And it's a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. So consciously or subconsciously, you've probably experienced that. Maybe when you came to this church and you heard Pastor Coop preach, you might have thought, hey, there's a guy I can learn something from. Subconsciously, you're probably thinking what you know about the scriptures helped you determine that what Pastor Coop was preaching is truth and that you wanted more of it. Okay, and it's the Word of God that helped you discern that. Or perhaps you were in town somewhere and came across somebody and said, I need to help this person, a homeless person or somebody you might have bumped into, and it's what you subconsciously knew about God's word that helped you determine this is what God wanted you to do. And so it discerns the thoughts and intents of the heart. Perhaps there's, you know, fellow believers that you've come across that you've felt compelled you need to help. And again, this is how the Word of God works. Now imagine if it wasn't subconscious. Imagine if it was purposeful and a conscionable use of intentional use of the Word of God to determine an outcome as the Lord helps you see fit. So by understanding the Word of God, we can do that. And this is the importance. This is our primary weapon in spiritual battle. Okay? So that is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And that is the armor of God. So, in closing, I'd like to remind you of another short story. My great-grandfather, Marius Labienus, he was a commander serving under Julius Caesar, and Caesar tasked him with a small detachment of soldiers to go off and do a mission. And so Marius Labienus got those soldiers together, and he said that he wanted them to fight as bravely as they have under their great commander, Julius Caesar, and to imagine that he was here with them in person watching the battle. And so, of course, it's easy for us to understand that Jesus, our captain, is here with us always, and that he wants to give us marching orders, and so we should conduct ourselves as if he was here with us, and that should be easy to do. Amen. So, thank you. We have now some gifts for the fathers. So we would like the fathers to come up, come forward, and receive your gift before we dismiss.